Good morning, church family. Welcome to the modern service. Will you stand up with us so we can worship together? Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Church family, I am so glad to see you here today. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. You did it. You made it. We had the first freeze of the year, and you survived, and you got to church. Way to go. If today is your first time here or your first time in a long time, we'd like to say welcome home. The pew in front of you, there is a yellow card. Looks just like this. If you wouldn't mind filling this out and then hand it to either myself or one of these guys right here, or if you're heading by the nursery, take it on down by the nursery. There's a blue wall that says welcome. We have a gift for you. I promise we're not going to call you about car warranty or solar panels or anything like that. We would just like to know how we can pray for you. And in the word of praying, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for being our risen King. We thank you for being the God who comes to save. We thank you for being the God who loves, and we thank you for being the God that we can trust in. Heavenly Father, we ask that you meet with us today, you open up our hearts to your glory, you eliminate any distractions we may have so that we may only focus on you. God, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Or no, let's keep worshiping.
I was going to say, we got to stand up, man. Come on.
This city, you're the king of these people, you're the lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in this darkness, you're the peace to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are, there is no one like our God. No one like you, God. And greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. to the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. And greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city, where glory shines from heart to life, with praise for you and love for you in this city. Still to be done in this city, where glory shines from heart to life, with praise for you and love for you in this city.
Father, I know my Father as He has good
mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow after me. So fear will not find me, 'cause I'll be dwelling in the house of God. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take part in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father.
Aren't you grateful he has good plans for you? As we enter time of just of worship, of thanksgiving and prayer, we want to remind you for our offering and the giving that you can either scan the QR code on the bottom sermon notes, or there are boxes by both doors as you exit that you can place your offering in there. So if you'll join me as we worship in prayer. Lord, for the opportunity that we have just to be in your presence as a family. We're grateful that you have good plans for us, as we just sang about. Lord, that you remind us daily that you are walking beside us. And Lord, as we come today and we worship and we sing and we open your word, that we are reminded how much you've blessed us and how much you've given to us in our life and the things that we don't deserve. And that we come as a time, each time as we enter into your house, that we give back to you so that we can continue to carry on your ministry, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask today, as Brian comes, that you will just open his heart, you will move him aside and speak through him, and you will open our minds to hear from you today, Lord. Lord, as we continue in worship, that we give you the praise that you deserve, Lord. And Lord, that you always remind us how much you bless us and we give back to you. Lord, thank you for your love and your grace. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Is it your firm foundation? That wasn't very convincing, but it's a start, so we'll start with that. Let's pray together, and then we'll be seated. God, I thank you. Thank you that we can trust you, that you are the foundation that we can build our lives on. And when we do that, we have your promise that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You are faithful and trustworthy, and we praise you for that today. Lord, I pray that as we go through this time, this part of worship, that, Lord, you would remind us that we are to live lives that look a little different than those outside of faith, that people outside of faith should see us and see a little bit of you in us. I pray each and every day more and more of you in us. Lord, today remind us that we're to be people of peace and reflect the peace that only you give in our daily lives so that others see that calmness, that peace within us. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you glad you're here this morning? Well, I'm glad that I am here this morning. And as you know, we have been working through since Easter this idea that the resurrection really should mean something. Honestly, the resurrection changes everything. That's a statement that I've been using over the last couple of weeks. I'll share it again today, that there is no other event in history that redefines human existence as does the resurrection. That's how it should be seen. We should see that Jesus being resurrected, that he went to that cross and died for us and rose again, that changes everything. It brings about an opportunity for us to have the life that he created us to have. And so really, that's really what I've been trying to communicate over this series is that our lives should look differently, that we shouldn't just take for granted what Jesus has done for us. I ran across a quote a few weeks ago, and I saved it for today. It's from a German theologian named Christoph Blumhardt. And the beginning of this, stay with it, because the first sentence, I kind of raised an eyebrow. But when you get to the end, you understand what he's trying to say. He says, "It is not the worst if some people are unable to believe that Christ rose from the dead. At least they still regard it as something tremendous, too tremendous to glibly confess. The sad thing is that so many people today claim to believe it, and yet it means so little to them." Let me read that last sentence again. "The sad thing is that so many people today claim to believe it, and yet it means so little to them." He wrote that over 100 years ago. Just think how much different it is today. So I want us to understand that really the resurrection should change everything for us. It should change the way that we live. It should change our outlook. It should change what people see in us, because it does make all the difference. I've been sharing through this series that we were buried with him so that we could be raised by him in order to live for him. And that's living for him is what really this series has been about. It's about someone seeing a difference in us, that instead of us claiming to believe in this resurrection, claiming to believe in what Jesus has done for us, and yet not really showing it in the way that we live, we should be challenged by this. We should be disturbed that we say we believe it, but it doesn't really show up in the way that we live sometimes. And I'm not perfect. Please, let me start there. I'm not telling you that I've got this figured out, but we're to strive to be different every day so that people see that difference in us. And so last week we talked about this hope that we should have. And as I said last week, hope in the biblical sense, hope is not wishful thinking. It's not saying I hope that, you know, it warms up to 75 today. I mean, there's a good chance of that. In fact, it's only 63 right now, but still, you know, that's winter time for us here in South Texas. It's not wishful thinking. Hope is knowing that God is who he says he is. It's a confident conviction that God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he will do. It is knowing that. And when we have hope, when we have that kind of hope, when we trust that God really is over all, that he has even this, whatever this is for you, then we can have his peace. And that's what I want us to look at today, is this peace that Paul says passes human understanding. We are to have that kind of peace so that people see us. Let me just tell you, just this week, in fact, a week ago today, a young family in our church spent that night and the next couple of nights at Driscoll with a four-year-old who was extremely ill. They needed peace in their lives. As I heard about that and received that information, I was actually traveling to Fort Worth to be there for my mother-in-law who had colon cancer surgery on Monday. Our family has needed peace this week. But let me just tell you, when you go through those kinds of things and you have peace, people notice. People see that you are going through these difficulties and yet you're doing so with calmness and peace and hope. That's the difference they need to see in us. That's the difference that Jesus makes when we trust him. So this text for us today is Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. And Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." When? Always. Not sometimes. Not when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. We are to have that peace. And we do that when we trust him, when we bring everything to him. And so let's talk about this idea of peace. Peace in the biblical standpoint is not the absence of difficulty. Jesus never said, follow me and it'll never be hard. Follow me and you'll never have trouble. In fact, he said quite the opposite. So peace is not the absence. If you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find one of the definitions will probably say peace is the absence of war. But in the biblical sense, in the spiritual sense, peace is not the absence of difficulty or struggle. It's the absence of fear. Peace is the absence of fear. And some of you may push back on that and you may say, well, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm just realistic. You know, the prognosis isn't good. This week doesn't look good. The things that I'm dealing with today are difficult. I'm not afraid. I'm just realistic. But if we really dig down and really analyze it and open your heart to him, I think what you'll find is the absence of peace is fear. We're afraid that he's not really who he says he is. We're not trusting him completely. We're not giving it all to him. And so peace, I don't believe, is the absence of struggle. It's the absence of fear. When we know that we don't have anything to be afraid of. And this peace, according to what Paul says, and proven out in my own life and probably in yours, this peace passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. How can you go through some of the struggles that you go through and yet with peace? It doesn't really make sense to someone outside of faith. God's peace is beyond our comprehension. From the outside, peace is being faced with impossible situations and yet not becoming anxious, not becoming fearful. God's peace, as I said, is not the absence of struggle, but the absence of fear. Our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances. You might say, well, things are going really well right now, so I have peace in my life. But when things aren't going well, shouldn't we still have peace in our lives? We will if we trust him, if we really give it to him. Our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on the presence of Jesus in our lives, the relationship that we have with him. And Jesus is in our lives because He's alive. He rose from the dead. He is alive today. And he is here. He is present. He promises never to leave us, never forsake us. And so we can have this peace because we know that he is with us. The calm and the storm, everybody just take a deep breath. And then let it out. Don't hold it. That's the kind of peace, that cleansing breath, that I don't have to carry all of this. Similar to hope, biblical peace is that part of us that people see a difference in us. In fact, I would suggest that the hope and peace are really two sides of the same coin. When we have hope, when we know, we have that confident conviction that God is who he says he is, that Jesus is bigger than what we face, then we can have peace. And knowing that we don't have to fear. He's already conquered sin. He's already conquered death. What else is there to fear? God's peace is contentment in the middle of struggle. That's his peace. How many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you are struggling with something right now? How many of you have had a difficult week or even a difficult morning? How many of you have something coming up at the end of this week that you're concerned about? Paul tells us we give that to him. We turn it over to him in all things with prayer and thanksgiving. Give it to God. He is the source of our peace. When we place our eyes on ourselves, when we look at ourselves and we think, I got this, we're setting ourselves up for difficulty. We're setting ourselves up for a life without peace. This peace is made possible because of the hope that we have, and that hope is possible because of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. He has defeated all of this. Jesus has truly defeated sin and conquered death. There is nothing else to fear. I referred to this a couple weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 2. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus came and became a man to die for us because we as children have lived our lives as slaves to the fear of death. But we don't have to fear that anymore. Paul says to live as Christ and to die is gain. We don't have to fear that anymore. Jesus has defeated all of this. Now, verse 5, there's a really short four-word sentence that I think makes all the difference. Verse 5 says, the Lord is what? Near. The Lord is near. Now, I'm going to stop for just a minute and give you a little Bible study. You could actually take, and some scholars do, that phrase actually ties to the sentence before. So that would mean that he says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. So in other words, he's saying, hey, people are watching. Make sure that you're making your peace, your calmness evident, because God's watching. God's near. Now, I think certainly that is true. I think that we should do our best to live for him because he is watching. He is near. His return is imminent. But what if you take the Lord is near with the next sentence? Because in the original language, there wasn't punctuation. There wasn't any verse delineation. It was just basically a lot of words running together. And so I think it's possible to read it this way. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. About what? Anything. Anything. The key to having peace is trust and taking everything to him. Now, we have a tendency to take him the big things, right? God, I got this big test coming up, or Lord, I've got this surgery scheduled. I really need your presence. I need your touch. I need your healing. But then there are those small things that we say, I got this, right? Do we take those things to him? Because here's what I can tell you from my own experience. Those little things add up. And before long, you're carrying a load you were never meant to carry. I'm not super trustworthy to handle my own stuff. I need God in all things. And that's what Paul tells us. He says, in everything, take it to him. Don't be anxious about anything, but take everything to him. Do you believe that he is able? Do you believe that he's bigger than anything you face? That's the hope that we have. That we have that confident conviction to know that God is bigger. No matter what I face, God is bigger. Do you believe that God loves you? Yes? Do you believe that he wants what is best for you? Not necessarily what you want, but what is best for you. Do you believe that? Then what would there be to be worried about? If you believe that God wants what is best for you, and you believe that he loves you, if you believe that he's able, then there is nothing to fear. Now, that's easy for me to say, right? I mean, that's easy for me to say. It's easy for all of us to say. In just a moment, I'll give you an illustration of the fact that comes a point we have to fully commit, fully turn it over to him. But what I want us to understand from this text is that we have nothing to fear. He says, don't be anxious. In fact, A.T. Robertson translates this, do not be anxious, as stop being anxious. I used an illustration in the first service. I'm looking around the room. 10% of you may know who this is, so I don't know that it'll work, but I'm going to use it anyway. Have you ever heard, and you can always Google it because it's worth it. Have you ever heard of the TV show Bob Newhart? Anybody? About 10%. That's what I kind of figured. So let me paint the picture for you really quickly. Bob Newhart was a comedian but also an actor and had this sitcom that he was a counselor. And one of the greatest sketches that I saw, you can Google this and it's worth it, trust me. And I won't repeat the whole thing, but he has a lady come to his office and she sits down and she says, Doc, I need some help. I don't like tight spaces. I can't do elevators. And he says, oh, you're claustrophobic. And she says, well, I don't know, but I get really anxious when I'm in tight spaces. And he goes, okay, well, I can help you. He says, I got two words for you that will cure you. And she says, two words, okay. He says, now, they're really simple. She says, well, should I write it down? He says, well, you know, it's up to you. It's just two words, but if you need to, write it down. And he says, you ready? And she says, I'm ready. He says, stop it. Stop it. He said, do you like to feel that way? And she says, no. He goes, well, then stop it. Now, again, I know there are counselors in the room, and I'm not trying to downplay the complexity of mental anguish. I understand there are other things to take into account. But what Paul is saying here is, stop it. Don't be anxious. God's bigger. He has this. Take everything to him and stop worrying about it. Let him be God. That's really what it comes down to, right? We don't want him to be God in all things. We want to be God sometimes. Let him be God. He's big enough to handle it. The key to having peace is trusting and taking all things to him. You can trust God because he's always near. He's always with you. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And so we are to be this people of peace. He says in verse 5, let your gentleness be obvious. Let it be evident to all. Another translation for gentleness is calmness. Do people see you as a calm person? Some of you in the room are probably seen as a calm person. I know some of you in the room, probably that would not be the characteristic most people would initially give you. We're to be this calm presence in a world that needs peace, that's looking for answers as to how to have that kind of peace. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. This is what others should see in us. People should see that difference of not being anxious, not being fearful. Think about it this way. How much energy do you spend each and every day worrying about a test coming up, or your grades, or your job, or your children, or your parents, or the world? How much energy do we expend worrying about things? God offers his peace when we give all those things to him. So why do we continue to carry a load that he never created us to carry? We should trust him. The biblical definition of trust is really letting go. This confident conviction that we have, this hope that we have, we should be able to trust God. And I, as I said earlier, I know we don't always do this perfectly. I know that we don't always wake up every morning and trust Him fully. But we should try to trust Him more each and every day. You've heard me share this before. One of my life verses is Mark chapter 9, verse 41. And in that story, Jesus is teaching, and a man comes to Him, and he says, I need you to heal my son. And Jesus says, okay, do you believe? And the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. That should be our prayer. Lord, I trust you, but help me to trust you more. Help me to see that you are faithful, that you are trustworthy, that you are near. We should trust him. And as I said a moment ago, there's a point of commitment. There's a point of no return. Some of us have not trusted him fully in this room today. And it's easy to say we trust him, right? And really even mean it. But when the struggle comes, that's when we see, do we really trust him? I did this several years ago. I'm older now. My wife reminded me I'm heavier now. Yeah, there's that. So I need the guys that I talked to come at this point. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, this is good right here. No, right here. Right here. All right, and I'm probably going to need a couple more. There's Sonny. Yeah. Okay, good, good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, Matthew. Where's Matthew? If he's asleep, I don't want him to come. He's not going to be paying attention. If he's just not wanting to do this, that's another thing. Okay, so guys, I wanted you to line up. 3 on this side and 3 on this side, facing each other. All right, facing each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we already had 6. You're just for moral support. Okay, Matthew, I'll tell you what. You hold the ladder. Oh, no, Chris is doing that. Okay. Yeah, Matthew, come hold the ladder because I don't want it to go the other way. That would make for a funny video, but not great sermon illustration. Okay, grab arms with each other. Yeah, there you go. And you two may want to. Y'all go to the end because I don't want to do like a flip over. All right. Okay. So as I was saying, okay, scoot this way just a hair. All right. Oh, I can see y'all so much better from up here. This illustration, I want to communicate that there comes a point we can say we trust. I do kind of trust these guys. At least to break the fall, right? But there comes a point when there's no return, right? That's the point that we need to get to with Jesus to truly trust him fully. We can say we trust, we can even mean it. But until we actually have to do something with it, do we really trust him? All right, I'm going to count to 3, and then you guys are going to do the rest, all right? Okay. All right, ready? 1, 2, I'm going to go that way, not this way, I think. All right, 1, 2, 3. Good job, guys. Thank you. Morning. All right, now you can. Thank you. Thank you. And I didn't even make you sign a waiver or anything. That's awesome.
We didn't make you sign the waiver.
Yeah, that too. Not to be overly dramatic or corny, but I really do believe that illustrates the idea of trust. Because there comes a point when there's no return, right? I mean, short of a rope that I could pull back. I mean, once I get to that point, there's no return. We need to get to that point with Jesus. We've got to trust him fully and not just say that we do, but actually put our words into action and really trust him. I would submit to you that the level of peace that you have in your lives is directly tied to the depth of your trust. The more we trust him, the more peace we're going to have. The less we trust him, the less peace we're going to have. We've got to trust him. But here's the good news. He's trustworthy, and he is faithful, and he will not drop you. Thank you guys again for not dropping me. That's good. I texted some of these guys on Friday to see if they would be willing to do this, and one of the guys sent back a meme of a little boy jumping off a porch and another little boy trying to catch him, and they both go down. It's like, let's not do that. We've got to get to that point of truly trusting him. When we do, we receive his peace. And that peace, Paul says in verse 7, guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The idea, the word there is a sentinel looking out, someone standing guard. He's guarding your heart and your mind. Think about that for a minute. When you trust him fully, your heart is free to commit to more of him. You're not worrying about other things. Worry no longer crowds out your passions. And that peace, he says, guards your minds. Your mind is now free to dream about what God has for you. You are now free to live fully in his plan. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We find God's peace when we trust fully in Jesus. My challenge for us today is show the world the difference Jesus makes by living in his peace every day. Every day. Some of you haven't trusted him fully, and that's okay. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes we have to trust and we learn to trust more. But some of you may not have made that commitment at all to even start that journey. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a time of response. And I'm encouraging you to turn your heart to him and say, God, I trust you. I do, but I want to trust you more. If you've never made a decision to truly give your life to him, I challenge you to do that today. If you don't know what that means, come see me, or Mike will be here, Chris will be here. If you're just looking for prayer, we'll be here. And something that I do occasionally, not often, and not that we ever are opposed to it, but if you just want to come and kneel and pray, that would be awesome. To come and just reaffirm with God that I do trust you. This time really, it's a time of worship, but it's a time for you to do something with what God is doing with you right now, to respond to him. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll move into this time of response. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you are faithful and that we can trust you fully. And so, Lord, I pray today that if there is anyone in this room that's never done that, that they would make today the day to give their lives to you, to truly understand that it is by confessing with our mouths and believing with our heart that you are the Messiah, that you came, that you died, and you rose again to save us. Lord, I pray that today would be the day for someone to do that. And, Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that today is a day that we recommit to truly trusting you with everything, not just with some things, not just with the big things, but with everything. We trust you. Help us trust you more. Be glorified. Be glorified in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God is at work, so respond to him as we stand and sing together. prayer for each of us, me included, this day is that we can sing those words and mean them, that it is well with our souls, even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of struggle. As we are dismissed today, before we are dismissed, actually, Micah will come up and do some announcements, but, you know, I tried something different last week and felt a little awkward, so I'm going to give the blessing now, and then I will go to the back and be there to greet you, and then Micah will have some announcements for you. You'll notice in your bulletin, let me just make this plug really quickly, there was an insert for the Broken Chains. It's a ministry that that I really have a heart for. It's a facility where guys can come, and ladies too, actually, that can get help, recovery, but also a place to stay, things like that. And so they have a fundraiser next Saturday. It's not a go sit down and eat meal. It's a drive through at Second Baptist, pick up some food, but it's a fundraiser. So that information's there if you have an interest in that next Saturday. And then Micah will tell you about some other opportunities to make moments in the coming 2 weeks. So as we're gathering to be dismissed, don't run out yet till Micah does his thing. But remember that you are loved. Remember that no matter what you are facing, you are not facing it alone. God is always with you. So may the God who created you for his good pleasure, who loves you and has only the best in mind for you, remind you today that he is near and that we are to live with that kind of calmness so that others see Jesus in us. Amen.
So about a year and a half ago, our church went through a new vision, seeking what does God want for us. And along that way, he said he wants us to make 1 million kingdom-building moments. Now, these moments can be just small conversations that you have with your family in the car ride home, or they can be something a little bit bigger. Over the next couple of weeks, we have a couple of these moments that we would love to share with you. One of them is one that I'm very, very excited about. It is our youth fundraiser. We are going to youth camp in June. We're going to go to Lake Brownwood to do Horizon Camp. I'm so excited about it, but it costs money. And so next Sunday, what we will have in both services is we will have a youth-led service. We have teenagers. In fact, several of them were up here yesterday with Corey and Olivia rehearsing. They were up here from 9 to 2 preparing for this upcoming worship service. So our youth praise band is excited. We have several students who surrendered to ministry at youth camp last year. You will get to hear their story, as well as hear from several of our other teenagers. And then afterwards, right over there in the gym, we will have a barbecue lunch. We're doing sausage and pork loin. So it's going to be wonderful. We will have some available for to-go, or we'll also have chairs to sit down. The meal itself is free. If you would like to donate to camp, in the back we will have little envelopes that you can take down and support our students to go to youth camp that way. It is a great time, and I'm so excited. And our teenagers have been working really hard. I'm excited that you get to hear them. Also, that same day, so still next Sunday, that evening, we will have the Bells by the Bay Carillon concert. That'll be at 8 o'clock right out there, and the guest carillonneur is Shannon Norton Richards. So a lot of fun if you join us for that. Then the Sunday after that, on May 5th, we will have our senior adult luncheon. It'll be at 11:30 downstairs in Elmore Hall. And then that evening, we're making all of these on the same two Sundays. That way it's easy to remember. That evening, we will not have Sunday night discipleship. Instead, we've rented out a theater, and we're going to see the new movie Unsung Hero. It's about the family of Rebecca St. James and For King and Country, kind of their story of them coming to America. It's a great film. Would love for you to join us for that. Going to the movies is expensive. So we decided, hey, let's just charge $5. You will never get to go to the movies for cheaper than $5 unless someone just buys your ticket. So come and join us for that. It'll be a great time. That movie starts at 6, and it is at Century 16. So the one over there on, you know, SPID. I think it's over there. The one on SPID. So lots of great opportunities for you to make moments with each other and with the church family. Let me pray and you will be dismissed. Father God, we love you so much. We ask that you be with us as we try to put our full trust in you. And we ask that you show us that peace, only the peace that you can give, God. We thank you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.
Cornerstone.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the same.